This is Leave Your Mark. I am Vince Cortez, and today's guest is Jill Otto. Jill has worked in a social service positions most of her life, mostly as a supervisory in a domestic violence and violence prevention and teen parenting programs. She currently works at the Wellness House in Hinsdale, Illinois, in the oncology support. Thank you for being my guest here today, Jill.
Thank you for having me.
Hi there, and welcome. Now it's time for America's favorite podcast, Leave Your Mark, with your host, Vince Cortez. If it's fly, loose fit it, it's Cortez. If freeze and chub is in it, it's Cortez. Leave Your Mark is about inspiring the world, one guest at a time. Pass the word from Brooklyn to Pittsburgh, from urban to suburb, it's Cortez, you heard? And here is our host, Vince Cortez.
You have a very interesting story of arriving at a wellness center in the oncology support, but we'll touch on that in a little later. Myself having had cancer, I'm curious to hear your role in the oncology part, but first let's get to know you a little bit and share with our audience where you're born and raised and what happened in your early life. So you were started out in Sacramento, California, correct?
I did.
And at the age of 14, you moved to Cape Girardeau in Missouri. And your dad is a pastor, and he's committed, and he teaches pastoral clinics, and he has retreats. And your mother, she's quite versatile, an organist, teacher, lawyer, and a pastor's wife. So she's filling in the gaps. So can you share with me experience with mom and dad?
Sure. They are very different people, but both very, very interesting, very passionate about what they do. They are both retired. And at the time when I was very young, my mom was not working, but then she went back to school, got her degree, and moved forward from there. And they divorced when I was pretty young. I was 6 years old.
Wow. Now you have two siblings. You have a sister, Aurora, and a brother, Nathan. And your sister has a unique experience as you're getting older there. And share with me what happens to her.
Yeah. Like many teens, she became involved in an abusive relationship. And she also became a teen mom. And so she had a lot of challenges she was facing. And it really influenced me to want to try to address both of those issues, domestic violence, dating violence, and also teen parenting. And so it really was a motivating factor for me in my career.
Now, also, you mentioned she's quite a bit younger than you.
She's actually 4 years older than I am.
Sorry.
Like 3.5 years older. And then my brother is 13 years younger.
Okay, sorry. I had that backwards.
Now, that's okay. No problem.
That's interesting. So at 3 years older than you, the big sis always leaves a big impression. And you can see what happened here and so forth. So now you're working your way through your childhood with your mom and dad and divorce, and then your sister. You go on to Central High School in Cape Girardeau, and your interests are piano and songwriting, and your activities are in the drama club and speech. So, I mean, with so much going on at home, what was school like?
School was pretty good. It was the transition, you know, from California to Missouri that was a little hard for me. We moved 6 weeks before the end of my freshman year of high school. And so that's not a really perfect time for a teenager to be moving. But I made good friends. I had two good friends. And I think that makes a difference, you know, when you're navigating high school, that you have friends that you can really turn to and spend time with. And so I enjoyed it.
You know, that's a crucial time because we're still trying to figure out life in our teen years. And with the amount of disruption you had in your home and then to uproot, I mean, going from California to Missouri is a big, I mean, it's a culture shift as well. So, you know, coming into probably the most crucial part of those teen years is that last 3 years before you're graduating off on your own. So, I mean, you're taking some really big steps here on an emotional and core levels before you arrive at the University of Missouri. Now you take up psychology. So share with me your mindset as to why you chose that as a major and what did you get from it most?
I actually started out as a music major, music composition, and very quickly realized I did not have the discipline, hours of work that you need to do. And I was taking a psychology class and I absolutely loved it. And my dad had always told me he thought social services would be good for me given what I wanted to do with my life. But I shied away thinking it would be depressing work, that it would be, you know, I just had other ideas for my life. But once I made that decision my freshman year, it was just amazing. I absolutely loved psychology. I loved learning about human behavior and gaining some understanding of why we do what we do. Just really enjoyed that learning process.
You were a PhD by the end of 4 years without going to the extended education on what you had been experiencing. My goodness. So you graduate college in 87 and you head over to a domestic violence shelter in Chicago. Share with me then. So you pretty much get right into the core of your studies right out of school. And in Chicago, big city again, share with me what happened in that first 4 years.
I really, really loved what we were doing, what we were about. It was challenging work. People don't realize that domestic violence shelters are very under-resourced and their staff are not paid well. So it was difficult working conditions. It was freezing in there. Sometimes we were wearing gloves and mittens while we were, you know, doing our work. And, you know, certainly things have evolved since then. And I think conditions, working conditions are better. But this was early. This was early on in the domestic violence movement. We were trying to really create a warm and welcoming space for women and their children to stay. I learned a lot. I made, you know, some mistakes along the way. But I was given an opportunity to start a non-residential counseling program after 2 years at the shelter. And that was really, really exciting. There were not very many counseling programs available for abused women. It was kind of shelter or nothing. There's so many women who don't need shelter or they're not ready for that. But they do need support. They need someone to talk with. They need to figure things out. And so that was very exciting to be able to start that program with a really wonderful team. And we had a children's program there as well.
Now, I would imagine that based on what you had come from in your childhood and to be there, it was probably somewhat therapy for yourself to be on the other side instead of being helped. You were doing the helping. It's kind of like who gets more out of it, the person who's having the violence or the caregiver? And they're two extreme sides of the story. And at this point, at a very young age, you're experiencing both sides. So after the shelter and Chicago, how does life begin to take root and what do you do next?
I actually went back to school and I got my master's degree in social work. And then I continued on in violence prevention and intervention work, primarily in the domestic violence arena, but also community violence. And then drifted into supporting teen moms and home visiting programs that provide support to teen moms. Also linking back to, you know, my sister's experiences. And, you know, you can feel really helpless when a loved one is going through a difficult time. And, you know, and incorporating that into your career can really help you feel like you're doing something and making a difference in an area that you're passionate about. And that's really the way it was for me.
What's interesting is how as you move forward here, you're completely selfless in that all your work is for other people. And, you know, we as humans need to kind of do our own work on our own interior.
Connect with us on LinkedIn. Be our friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Whether jumping out the MP or jumping on the app. You are listening to Vince Cortez. We just want you to leave your mark.
So how are you moving forward in life with what you experienced and kind of how you're putting the pieces of the puzzle together? Like, how are you having a vision, or how are you seeing your future in these moments? Because you're just one step after another from a very young age, reaching out to help somebody else. And what kind of care are you doing for yourself?
It's a really good question. I didn't really experience it that way. What I struggled with actually as my career moved forward was I felt like I wasn't doing enough. I felt like I was not making enough of an impact. And it was really, really challenging for me, especially as I got higher up in more administrative roles. I just did not feel like I was making the difference I wanted to make. It can be really draining being in social services. However, if you're passionate about it, then it's feeding you as well. You know, you do need to do self-care and pay attention to your own needs. But I think people would always say, oh, that must be such draining work, or I could never do that. But when it has meaning for you, then you feel privileged to be doing it, you know, and then you're just navigating all the stresses of the work as anybody else would. And I think I might've missed part of your question there at the end.
No, that's fine. Do you go on and get married yourself?
I did. Yes, I did. Okay. Very early on, right out of college, I did.
Okay. Now, how did your marriage go?
Well, it lasted a long time. we were married for almost 27 years. And so it was very kind of a stable, peaceful relationship. But in the end, did not work out.
Now, did you have children as well?
Yes.
You're a mother of two?
I am.
What did that feel like being on the other side, being a mom and married? Now you're the role model and you're going through your career of helping others. How did you feel about being a mom?
I think it was really challenging for me, especially when I was doing work supporting parents, because I was struggling as a parent and feeling like, well, you know, I'm teaching parenting skills. Why can't I master this? And so I think that was a little bit challenging, but also because of the work I was doing, I was learning some skills. It does not stop you from making your own parenting mistakes and having your own parenting challenges. I think for my son, I had him very young. And it was hard for him because I was working, and then I went back to school when he was, you know, 1 year old. And
oh, wow.
So it was, that was really challenging to just balance that, and kind of make sure I was present for him. And then so many parents go through that, right? Where, how do you balance your career with the time with your kids?
Yeah. And your marriage too. I mean, you know,
yes, when absolutely.
You're not operating as a team in the window of raising kids, it can get even more challenging. So take me to the part of your kids are now grown and are you a grandma?
I'm not. I have a grand dog and a grand cat,
okay.
But no grandkids
okay.
yet. I wish.
Now you arrive, just kind of pull me up to the place of where you get to the wellness center there in Hinsdale, and what's currently going on with you.
So I was looking for a position, and there were very few manager positions available. And that's kind of where my wheelhouse is. And then Wellness House had a position available, and I was so excited because you had referenced, well, you've been doing a lot of work kind of related to, you know, your loved one's experience of life and challenges. But I myself was diagnosed with cancer in 2006 with breast cancer. And so this was something I was personally passionate about because of my own experiences. And so I was able to join Wellness House 3.5 years ago, and just am really proud of the work that we're doing there. Wonderful people. And it's a safe place for people to come and not be okay. You know, it's okay to not be okay in a cancer journey. And people often feel they have to kind of keep things together. And then we have just a wide array of programs, nutrition. We have exercise, stress management, child and family programs. I manage our support group and counseling programs. And we also have information and education programs too. So it's been a wonderful experience being part of Wellness House.
Okay, so I got to touch on the breast cancer. What year did you say it was?
2006.
So what's that? My math is not so good at the moment. It's 18, 17 years ago we're coming up on. So yeah. How do you respond to finding out you have breast cancer? Like, where were you and what frame of mind were you when you were told this?
I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. And I remember driving home and the road looked like a cartoon. I can't even explain it. It's like everything was surreal. Nothing would ever be the same. And, you know, I had been healthy. I had been, you know, I was fairly young. And I just, it was really, really shocking. It's just hard to even explain. But terror is a really great way of describing it. That night, I could not sleep. I was just shaking until like 3 a.m. And I finally got up and went downstairs. I was by myself. And who do you call at 3 a.m, you know, when you're terrified? There's not really anybody to call. And for some reason, my computer beeped at me. I just heard it go ding in our den. And I thought maybe I could call, you know, look at something online. And I did. And I found this online resource with a hotline. And I talked to this, I was connected with somebody immediately who also had been through the breast cancer experience. And she talked with me for an hour. It was just amazing.
So then did you not get a scan or go to the doctors when you had that experience of everything being surreal?
That was, so I had found the lump. So you're kind of asking about how did I even find out? I found the lump myself and went to the urgent care. And this was on a Sunday. And he, you know, set me up for some tests the next day. And they were really able to tell from the testing that they did that it was not innocent. And it was a couple days later that they verified.
Did they biopsy you or they didn't need to?
They did. Yeah, they did.
That's pretty much the tell-all on a biopsy. Yeah. So now you're very scared. So at this point, you're enormously brave and courageous with the life that you'd experienced. So the idea that you would have fear would be sort of foreign here, it sounds like, because you just kind of walk through one tragedy after another. And, you know, this one's it was a different one.
Yeah. I don't know if I was a stranger to fear. You know, I feel like I was always afraid I wasn't doing enough, you know, making enough of a difference, but this is a different kind of life and death fear for sure. And what it did is it taxed my support system.
Uh-huh.
You know, everything changes because some people that you're really close to aren't able to stay close to you. They can't manage what you're going through. And then other people show up. And that's, I've really heard that often in the cancer journey that your support system changes.
Yeah, it does. Now when you're going through that, so is it because, do you have that life or death feeling like, oh no, I could die? Like, cause what's your initial thought besides the fear? Like, how are you going to manage your way mentally through this?
Yeah, I absolutely thought this was a life and death situation. The tumor initially was very large, And I didn't know until surgery what, you know, what the details were about it. But based on the size of the tumor, it would have been pretty later stage cancer and very life threatening. And so that's what I was dealing with for about a week and a half until I did have my surgery. And yeah, it's hard to even explain how do you cope with that. I did a lot of research, which was my way of coping. And, you know, I did reach out to a cancer support center, and I talked with a lot of people, talked with a friend who had been through breast cancer. And that was probably the most helpful thing of all.
If you are listening from Australia, Florida, or just from around the corner, from East Coast to West Coast outlets, if you're nodded to the dirty South straight, make a left and body body. Contact us. Leave your mark with your host, Vince Cortez.
Now, you mentioned you had operations. So after the operation, was there chemo, radiation, and you're still here with us today? How does this then play out since it's quite a while ago?
I know. So I had a mastectomy, and they learned in that surgery that the fairly large tumor was primarily, stage zero DCIS, you know, fairly innocent in the scheme of cancer, and it just a tiny bit of invasive cancer, but the invasive cancer had all bad characteristics. It was HER2 positive. It was highest grade. And it was hormone negative. But because it was such a tiny, tiny amount, they decided not to do chemo. And because chemo creates its own set of, you know, issues, right? And so I was left with, you know, go forth. And I would have, you know, I would have regular checkups and that kind of thing. But I just started a very healthy eating plan.
So you did change your life with the diet, and your mindset had already shifted. I think your ability to have had the experience in your childhood when your mind decided to kick in and do what you would become accustomed to, that would probably have helped your healing a bit. So then I can see the excitement at the wellness center and the oncology. So what kind of therapy are you doing with patients over there, you personally? Like, run me through, say, I had cancer. So somebody like myself come in and has cancer. How are you treating them, and what are you taking them through?
Well, we would just be kind of helping you figure out what it is, what type of support would be helpful for you. Because we have such an array of programs that I mentioned. So some people aren't interested in counseling support, don't feel they need that, but they really might want some nutrition information. And so then that's the way we connect them. And others really want to hear from experts. And so it's information and education. They might attend some workshops or seminars. We have expressive arts, we have stress management programs. And then I think you were asking maybe more specifically in the counseling realm, we have a wide variety of different support groups. Some are diagnosis specific groups, and those meet once a month. And we have different support groups that meet weekly. You, for example, what you were looking for, you know, if you wanted to meet with others that had maybe your same cancer diagnosis, or we have a men's support group. Maybe you just want to talk with other men, and they might have all different types of cancer and be at different places in the journey. Or for people who have metastatic cancer, we have a support group for those that have recurrent or metastatic cancer. So it's really just listening and helping connecting people with what it is that they really want that resonates. And that might change over time. Initially, they might feel like this is supportive, and then maybe months or even years later, they might feel they have a need for something else.
That's a terrific place, because the freedom to take on other things, not just that freedom, but the fact that the support is behind that freedom of thought. You really do. Your mind goes all over the place. I know mine did. This is an incredible journey. You're courageous on so many fronts. And just your ability to just keep moving forward is just very inspirational. So That leads me to, how would you like to leave your mark? How would you like people to remember you in this life?
I would love to. I've always, since I was little, had this dream of changing the world, right? So this is a big dream. But I think, we, so many of us want to make the world a better place, and we don't know how to go about it. And I think if we could connect more, I think about when I was little, a neighbor had an above ground swimming pool, and we would walk around the edges of it in the same direction and get kind of this whirlpool thing going. And then we would be able to lift up our feet and just kind of go around in a circle. And I think if we could create some synergistic energy together of what we're moving towards, what, what we want to create in the world, and it starts with ourselves. And I really think it has to do with kindness and forgiveness and joy. And so being kind to ourselves, as kind to ourselves as we are to others, because I think we're all often very, very hard on ourselves, and that has negative impacts. And forgiveness, forgiving ourselves and forgiving others, so we can have a lighter heart. And joy. I think joy is what lifts us and helps to fuel us. And joy in just these very special moments that we can really cherish and savor. That's kind of can create a foundation. So,
well,
so
I think that
hope to promote that.
You're a tremendous example of those three things: kindness, joy, and forgiveness. You exude them. You're a living example of them. And I really appreciate you coming by here today and sharing your story. It was very inspirational on many fronts. You touched so many things that we probably could have spoke a lot longer than we did.
Thank you.
So, what I would like to do is allow you the opportunity to share about the Wellness Center information, where people could find you and reach out, because I'm sure there's folks out there that heard what you had to say, would love to talk to you. So any contact, any information you'd like to provide for me right now, go ahead.
Wonderful. Okay. So Wellness House is located in Hinsdale, Illinois, but many of our programs are available nationwide. Our clinical programs, counseling programs are only available in Illinois, and our website is www.wellnesshouse.org, and people can go there to find all the information about our programs and contact information. We have Welcome to Wellness House orientation sessions, both online and in person, for people to come and learn more about what we do.
Great. Jill, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Take care and keep up the good work. Appreciate you coming by.
Thank you. You take care.
Thanks for listening to Leave Your Mark today. Tune into our next episode of Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez. Be blessed.
You just left your mark. Thanks for listening. Listen to more episodes on demand. Just click Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez.